bring out the dancing girls. It's time for a show.
My goodness, did we hire dancing girls for this episode?
We did.
Where are they?
They're just in the other room.
There's no space for them in this room.
Bring them out.
We can't, Maria. They won't fit.
But I hired them.
Maria, I can see them from here. Those dozen dancing girls are not going to fit in this room.
But do you know how much it costs?
They won't fit.
For even one dancing girl?
I don't.
It's quite steep.
I believe you. Do you get a bulk rate for 12?
I did get a discount for a dozen.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. What, can you get a baker's dozen for the same price?
Yeah, that's they throw in one extra.
They throw in an extra, yeah. So there's 13 of them.
We wanted to add some razzmatazz to this show.
Unfortunately, you're not going to get it because they're just not going to fit in this room.
Well, what a waste of money.
This room is tiny. This room is hot.
Yes.
How is it a waste of money when you're helping them, you know, make a living doing what they love?
I suppose, you know, we're just not reaping the benefits.
All 13 of them have jazz dancing degrees, okay? And they need to use them for something.
Can you really get a degree in jazz dance?
I'm sure.
No, you can't.
I'm sure you can.
Specifically jazz dance.
I bet you that you can.
We're going to have to find out now.
I bet you that you can get a degree in jazz dancing.
You know, I took jazz in college, of course, and I still remember the dance to All That Jazz from Chicago.
Oh, that's a good song.
Yeah, it is. It's we got some Fosse going on.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? Anyway.
I'm sorry, hey, everybody. This is a podcast about Magic the Gathering called Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Megan.
And I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And we're going to talk about magic.
Ostensibly.
Yes.
But we also will.
And extensively.
Yes. And
reprehensibly.
And
malevolently.
And
maliciously.
And
deliciously.
On today's show, you may have noticed there was a pre-release last weekend.
That's right. People got to get their sticky fingers all over. I'm already sorry I said that. As I was saying it. People already got their sticky fingers all over Eldritch Moon.
Well, you know, the thing is when I before a pre-release, I ate a sticky bun, so my fingers were super sticky.
It's popsicle season.
It is. I would argue that's all year, but that's just me.
Okay, but in Minnesota, are you really going to eat a popsicle in winter?
You know, great question. I don't buy them, but they're still delicious, so what am I
okay,
doing?
Okay, they're delicious all the time, but popsicle season is when they're, like, most appropriate.
Yeah.
Which is right now. Hey, guys, maybe you ate a popsicle and maybe you didn't, but maybe you played Eldritch Moon, and that's what we're going to talk about.
Yes, Spooky Moon pre-release this past weekend. It was awesome. First chance to play with the new cards with your friends, have some casual mm-hmm. games, get assistance deck building.
Yep.
I played 2 pre-releases because my desire cannot be sated by one.
I played 0 pre-releases because I am a graduate student and sometimes higher education calls.
Megan, I feel like you made the wrong choice, not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I would too. But you guys, I got a scholarship.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty sweet.
So you can afford to play more Magic?
Is yeah, that what you're telling basically. Me? Basically, I was like, oh, this is great. You gave me a scholarship for school, but I'm probably going to play Magic.
Yeah, that's fine. If I was your teacher, I'd be like, you know what? Follow your heart.
Probably my current faculty advisor would. She writes a lot of fantasy.
Oh, that's awesome.
She's real cool.
We're also going to read you some letters from our mailbag. It's Inspiration Week here on Magic the Amateuring. So
yeah.
It's not only the name of a card, but it's something that can happen in your life. And
yeah.
Hopefully our letters will inspire that in you. And of course, we're going to crack a pack of Eldritch Moon for Flavor Text
Ooh,
Theater.
Spooky Moon.
Spooky Moon.
And its predecessor, Innistrad, Shadows Over Innistrad. So we can determine whether the spooky moon or the plane on which it casts its shadows is spookier.
Which is spookier?
Which is spookier? We're going to decide for you, or you can decide for you and disagree.
We have a great for the noobs as well. We're going to be talking about the clock.
That's right.
It's
what kind of clock?
A cuckoo clock.
No, we're not.
I was going to say it's more than a piece of jewelry around a rapper's neck.
Oh, yeah. Hey, did you know that my roommate saw Flava Flav in person at a restaurant?
What?
Did I not tell you that?
I feel like this is something that would happen to her.
Yeah, right? Okay, so she was at a restaurant in town, and she goes in, and there's Flava Flav.
He was here?
Yeah, he was here for when one of the Prince Memorial block parties.
Oh, that makes sense.
He came and made like a surprise performance and appearance. And she said, so during the course of this meal, He drank an entire bottle of red wine by himself at lunchtime. She went at lunch.
Oh my God.
At lunchtime. But he drank it by mixing it with Coke. So he would mix Coke and red wine in a wine glass and drink it, and had had an entire bottle of red wine by the end of the meal.
I'm trying to imagine if that would taste good, but no, I don't think it would.
Doesn't it sound disgusting?
Yeah, but we used to think that Fanta and red wine would taste bad.
That was Fanta and white wine, wasn't it?
No.
It was red, red wine. I didn't drink it.
It tasted kind of like sangria, which is disturbing,
we
but
we called
true.
It Fangria. Yeah.
Wow, that's
news,
crazy.
We're classy.
Yeah, so before we get to that point in the show, I wanted to do a shout out, a special shout out this week to all of our new patrons on patreon.com/mtacast. Yes. We picked up a bunch of new people, and I couldn't be more thankful, and I know Megan too, yes, for all the support that we're getting from you guys out there.
We're going to buy so many pairs of armadillo underwear.
Oh, yes.
And pass them out amongst Magic players mm-hmm. who need them.
We got some great suggestions of where to buy our armadillo underwear too. Yes. So we have a lot of options.
Thank you all.
All sorts of different styles and kinds of armadillo underwear, no matter what. Boxer briefs, tighty whities, all of it's available with armadillo patterns, and it's going to be available on our store. There is a level for everybody to donate at. $1, you get a sticker. $2, you get a sweet good luck high five bracelet. $3, you get to choose a topic for the show. $5, you get a t-shirt after 3 months. And $10, after 5 months, you get everything and a playmat as well. So some pretty sweet rewards for joining the Magic the Amateuring family. You officially, I think it's legally, you are part of our family.
That's right. It's sort of like a godfather situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where you look out for the family and the family looks out for you.
Yeah, that's right.
There's also a lot of murder.
We've got your back in illegal ways.
That's right, buddies.
So head on over to patreon.com/mtacast and help us out on the show. We've got a great goal at 700 that we're hoping to hit, and every donation makes that possible. So thank you. For the noobs, the clock!
Hey, everybody. Sometimes, you know, you have to realize that there is a law that governs all of our lives.
Yeah.
And that is the law of the clock.
Time.
Time.
It's a brutal mistress.
It's inescapable.
Yeah, you know, isn't that weird? There's so many things you can run from in this life, but time is not one of them.
Time is not one of them. Time and aggressive mice.
Yeah, can't get away from those things.
You cannot run from aggressive mice. Don't try it. I've tried it. Turned out poorly for me.
Yeah, it really did.
So the clock. Maria, when we're talking about the clock and magic,
yeah,
what are we talking about?
So the clock is not... Okay, you might think there's two ways to think about it. Like, the clock is how much time you have in a round. It's especially relevant on Magic Online because you can see it counting down. But
Absolutely.
We're talking about how long it's going to take to kill your opponent.
Yes, specifically measured in turns.
Turns!
So the number of turns that you have or that you're going to give your opponent before they're dead.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's an important thing to think about, and it's kind of like a level up skill once you start thinking about the clock mm-hmm. a little more. It involves math, so it's something that frightens me.
Fair.
But at this past weekend at the pre-release, I thought about it, and it helped me make a better play. So I thought it might be a good topic to talk about. How can we utilize the clock? How can we recognize it and make sure we're using it to our best benefit? Mm-hmm. And in that case... Also, how can we, knowing our own time of death is something that can be beneficial as well.
And I'm sure also the premise for several scary movies.
Oh, yeah.
Psychological thrillers.
For sure. Would you want to know?
No. No.
But I have it in this envelope here, Megan.
Nope. Like, no. Seriously, no.
Oh, God, neither
would I. How
could
you handle it?
Well,
you couldn't handle it.
Say the answer was like, you're going to die, you're going to be 90, you die in your sleep.
But what if the answer was like, it's in 5 years? You wouldn't want to know that.
Well, then I would make sure to have a pretty good 5 years.
I don't think I'd want to know.
Yeah, it's really rough. I don't think I would.
It would be
it would
so
either.
Sad.
Be
like,
super
you could make
sad.
It a good... I don't know that you could possibly actively do anything with knowing that you had that 5 years.
Without being sad.
Exactly. Like, I don't know that you could actively do something that would make up for the knowledge.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway. Like, it would be like, oh, this is great, but it's only great because...
Because I'm dying in 5 years.
I'm dying in 5 years.
All right, I'll burn it.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's burned.
Thank
you. I used a blowtorch.
So some baseline ways to think about it are like the very bottom building blocks of thinking about the clock is, one, usually in a lot of games, it's just going to be like, you want it to be the shortest clock possible.
Yes.
You just, you don't want to mess around. You don't want to bat him around like a cat with a tiny mouse.
Nope.
Don't want to do that.
Just dispatch him and quickly.
Exactly. Dispatch him as quick as you can. And two, you want your clock to be longer than your opponent's clock.
Yes.
Obviously. So it's a little bit of like as quickly as possible, but also keep your eye on the comparativeness of the two. Because if you're killing them quick, but they're killing you quicker, doesn't matter.
So, for example, if I have a 5-5 in play and Megan has no blockers available, mm-hmm. and I hit her with that 5-5, she's going to be dead in 4 turns unless she does something.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty simple version of the clock there. Mm-hmm. So it can be useful to, I'll just explain the situation I was in.
Yeah.
So at the pre-release, in my second one that I played this weekend, I had the 4-5 flyer with Delirium cost 2 less in play, as well as a spirit token, which is a 1-1. And I had the option of chump blocking or throwing away my spirit token for some reason or another, or not, leaving it back. And it significantly altered the number of turns that I was going to kill my opponent in, you know, 2 turns or 3 turns. That's pretty big. Mm-hmm. I know it's only 1 turn, but in the end, like, 1 turn can make or break a game. So I decided not to block with the spirit token and saved it so I would have 5 power coming at my opponent in the air. Mm-hmm. And it made the difference in the game. And it's just something to think about, to be aware of. I wonder why I even thought of it in that moment, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
But some I was part like, of your subconscious was doing math.
Boop, math.
Your conscious brain was resisting
boop,
it.
Boop, boop, boop.
But your subconscious was like, wait a second.
Let's do some math.
You were having a real Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting moment.
Is he just subconsciously smart in that movie?
No, he's like smart, but you know, like his brain does all the math. So you were doing all the math.
You know, my brain, my subconscious brain is way better at math than my conscious brain.
Yeah.
Because it's really good at time, too. And my conscious brain is terrible at time.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, but I believe it.
I know how much time has passed between moments, mm-hmm. and I can wake myself up at specific times. If I'm like, I have to get up at 6:30. Okay, blah. I don't even need an alarm because my subconscious like,
what?
I got it.
That's crazy.
But if I were to time and math is a foreign concept to me in real life.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Anyway, so yeah, I thought about the clock and it made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So identifying the clock and realizing the number of turns it will take to kill your opponent is something that you do have to sit down and take a little thought about, but can vastly improve your game.
Yeah, we can think about it. Let's think about 2 different situations. Say your opponent is at 15, and like you did, you have a 4-power flyer and a 1-power flyer. Assuming that on this first turn that we're thinking about, they don't have any blockers for your flyers. You know, you're going to probably want to swing in with both because you're looking at the damage in chunks of 5. You're like, okay, I can get them down in 3 turns.
Yeah.
Although there is something in that to think about. You're like, okay, what's the likelihood that I'm going to be able to attack with these, both of these flyers on all 3 turns? Maybe this 1 power flyer on, you know, the next 2 subsequent turns, maybe it won't have an opportunity to attack. So you kind of have to weigh those 2 things.
Right.
So that, I think, is actually slightly more nuanced decision in that case. The end answer is, I think a lot of times, unless their clock is threatening yours, like is threatening to be faster, and you're going to want to leave that 1-1 behind to block something, you're probably going to swing with both. Because again, shortest possible amount of time. I think it's actually a lot more straightforward if, say, you have that 4-power flyer and that 1-power flyer, and your opponent's at 16.
Right.
And then it's like, well, this turn, I'm definitely going to swing in with it. Because it's going to make a difference, even if it can't get in later. That 1-power flyer only has to get in on 2 turns to significantly alter the clock, and then it doesn't matter if it gets in on that 3rd turn anymore.
Right, exactly. And the clock is something that is fluid. It changes. It can change in an instant, literally, when your opponent plays an instant and kills your dude. Like, yes. Oh, all my calculations are out the window. And we just need to be okay with that because mm-hmm. as Magic players, you know what? We adapt.
Yes.
We adapt and conquer.
We adapt. We evolve. We
touch a stranger.
What? Where did that come from?
I was thinking of some kind of song. Reach out, touch a stranger.
I have never heard this song in my life.
What am I singing?
I have actually no idea.
Oh my God.
Is there a song with the lyrics, reach out, touch a stranger?
Yes, of course there is. Reach out, touch a stranger. Whoa.
What?
What is it from?
Is it? It's not from that Michael Jackson song you're saying?
I don't think so.
I mean, I'm just saying that that was the first 10 results on that Google list.
It was, but I don't think that's what it is.
Well, Google seems to think that's what it is.
Weird. Michael Jackson, Human Nature, but I don't know.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, so yeah, the clock.
So it's definitely, again, something to that is, you need to be keeping it in mind. Because yep. in a lot of times, especially I think in limited, it comes down to clocks.
Absolutely.
And it comes down to who has the better sense of like what the clock situation is on both sides of the battlefield.
And I think recognizing your creature's value when it comes to the clock is something to keep in mind as well. So how relevant a creature is right now in this phase of the game, and how relevant will this creature be later on in the game because of either what I know is in my opponent's deck, potentially what is in their hand, what is in my hand. Do I have kill spells that can deal with what my opponent has, mm-hmm. so I can risk this creature, or I should really make sure that this creature survives and is hanging around for a little while. Mm-hmm. Risk it, I mean, by swinging in, potentially getting it killed with blocks, or holding it back because I know I will need it. Say, for example, a spider with reach later on when my opponent plays their big flyer or something like that. So your creatures and how they affect the clock is something to keep in mind as well. When you're making those blocks, don't do it willy-nilly. There should be a reason every time that you make a block. Mm-hmm. Don't just throw them away, you know? Make those creatures work for their money. Just like those dancing girls who are dancing in the other room right now. Nobody can see it, but I'm making them dance.
If a dancer dances and no one is watching, did they ever really dance at all?
I mean, probably.
But did they?
You're messing with my head! Spooky Moon pre-release!
That's right. As we mentioned, Maria pre-released.
I sure did.
I studied.
I feel sad that you didn't pre-release with me.
I'm very sad that I didn't pre-release as well.
I had a lot of people asking me where my counterpart was, and I had to say that she just quit Magic and didn't care about it anymore.
What?
Just kidding, Megan. I didn't say that.
That's such a misrepresentation.
I said you were busy being a slave to the educational system.
Okay.
Or something like that.
I like to think of myself as a benefiter.
Sure. Yeah, so the first pre-release I went to was at our local game store, Mead Hall, here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I had, as some may know if you follow us on Twitter, at MTAcast, plug, that I had the literal best pool that has ever happened in the history of Magic the Gathering.
It was disgusting.
I kid you not, my pool had, my pool I'm sure had some crappy cards. My deck did not have one bad card in it.
Maria, tell us some of the hits.
So let me just go through this deck. I'm just going to read off the cards. You stop me when you hear something you wouldn't play in a sealed pool.
Okay.
All right, Gisella the Broken Blade foil.
Oh.
Gisella the Broken Blade foil. That's two separate cards.
Shut up.
Bruna the Fading Light. Jill,
let's just be clear really quickly. Yeah. The first three cards Maria has named are Gisella, Bruna.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. This seems normal. This seems fair. This seems reasonable.
Totally normal. You know what the best part of this was? Is I was texting people and putting on Twitter. I had the unopened pack in my hand and I was like, yeah. Brazilla, I'm ready for you. And it was literally the first three things I opened.
Oh my gosh.
There
Look
she is.
At how huge this card is.
Isn't that cool?
So wait, did you get foil Gisella and a Bruna in the same pack?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's the first three that you opened.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look at this giant Eldrazi
nightmare. I know, it's so
sweet.
So cool.
It's so huge.
It's huge. And do you know what happened? I made Brazella twice, by the way. So it is possible. I know on a show we were talking about, we were like, I think I said it will very rarely ever happen.
They showed you.
They sure showed me. It happened in two games.
Yeah, like, man.
And insta-scoop by my opponents, of course.
You didn't even get to turn it sideways.
I mean, she's got vigilance, so...
Oh my gosh, you didn't even have to turn it sideways. You could just be like, I'm attacking you with this.
Yeah.
I'm attacking you with
all upside, baby.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have Sigardin Priest here, which is the 1/2, you pay one, you can tap a non-human creature. This card is straight busted, which I'm sure everybody knew, because it's basically a functional reprint. People have to kill this card. Just straight up. If you don't kill this guy, I mean, there are some decks where it's not going to matter if you're playing a bunch of weenies or whatever, but this card is It's very, very good.
Yeah.
I mean, it could.
Yeah.
It could lock down Brazil, for example.
Yeah.
So.
That's true.
That's not nothing. I played an Accursed Witch, of course, from the past set. I have an Era Falcon Wrath in this deck, which is pretty good.
Nice.
I have Ghoul Caller's Accomplice. Not bad, not bad.
Okay, I wouldn't always play this card.
No, not always, but I think it is a just fine 2-drop.
It's, you know, it's actually, as far as 2-drops go, it's like very reasonable.
Olivia's Dragoon, which is another 2-drop with value. You can discard a card to give it flying.
Oh, snap.
Just filling out your curve there. I had Soul Separator, which is kind of a strange card. I wasn't sure if I should play this or not, but I thought I would try it because it's a pre-release. It costs 3 colorless artifact, 5 tap, sacrifice it, exile target creature card from your graveyard, put a token onto the battlefield that's a copy of that card, except it's a 1-1. It's a spirit and it is flying. Put a black zombie creature token onto the battlefield with power equal to that card's power and toughness equal to that card's toughness. So basically you get a dude that's a copy of your dude plus a 1-1 flyer.
That's pretty cool. For 5. Think about it. It took them out of the yard and it took their soul and their body separately.
That sounds awesome now that you say that.
Right? That's what happens. Like, that's what it
is. I didn't even think about that. The spirits coming with.
Yeah. Well, separate.
But so zombies don't have spirits. What? Or souls, rather.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I played Blessed Alliance, which was an Escalate card, 1 and a white, Escalate 2. Target player gains 4 life, untap up to 2 target creatures, target opponent sacks a creature.
That just seems...
That can get brutal.
Sacrifices an attacking creature.
An attacking creature, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Midnight Scavengers, which is 1/2 of, what is it, Chittering Host?
Yes.
I did not have the rats, but this card is just good to play by itself. It's a 3/3, and then you get a card back with Commemorative Vanakos 3 or less from your graveyard.
And you have so many of those.
Yes,
so it's going to be good.
Ruthless Disposal, which this was a lot of people talking about this card.
Yeah. It says, as an additional cost to cast Ruthless Disposal, discard a card and sacrifice a creature. 2 target creatures each get -13/-13 until end of turn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so I actually never had to cast this card because my deck was so good I didn't need to. It's
sick brags, buddy. I'm like,
serious. Every time I was like, I could cast this and kill 2 of my opponent's best creatures, but I don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
I had Murderous Compulsion in there, which I also never needed to cast because I was always attacking. Certain Death, which just kills something for 6, gains and drains for 2. This is the interesting part of this deck here, too, as well. Boon of Emrakul, 2 and a black for +3/-3, enchantment aura. So this card, I didn't find you were usually getting a ton of value out of this. You weren't usually killing their... I mean, I don't want to say that, but it wasn't always... Sometimes I would kill a 2-drop with it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. But it was fine, because removal is removal, mm-hmm. and I was happy to have them. So what combos with that card in my deck was 2 copies of Ironclad Slayer, 2 and a white for a 3/2. When it enters the battlefield, you may return target aura or equipment card from your graveyard to your hand.
Oh, snap. So you could just kill something and then get it...
And get it back.
Get the enchantment back and kill something else.
Yeah, that combo is the real deal, everybody. Like, it is...
That seems... Disgusting. This deck is really gross.
Yeah, it's not done yet. Faith Unbroken, 3 and a white. This was a card that I love the design of. It's an aura. Enchant creature you control. It gets +2/+2. And when it enters the battlefield, this aura, exile target creature and opponent controls until Faith Unbroken leaves the battlefield. Is it good? My answer is yes, I believe it is. The swing that you get with that +2/+2, it's essentially just coming onto a creature which probably doesn't have summoning sickness, so you get to hit for 2 extra right away. And you're taking away their creature. The tempo swing is just brutal. And say they even kill it on the next turn, I'm kind of not even too worried about it because I took out their creature for a while and I hit them for an additional 2 and I have my Ironclad Slayer just to get it back anyway, so...
Snap!
I played Farbog Revenant, which is just okay, but I think he's a fine sealed card. Probably the least exciting card in my deck was Faithbear Paladin, which is a 3/4 lifelinker for 5, which is also just like whatever, but what I'm not gonna not play him. Then I have Behold the Beyond in here because I just felt like, you know, rubbing it in.
You could just, you know, if you got there and if you somehow hadn't drawn a Gisela or a Bruna, you could just go get them.
I didn't need it because I usually got them. The best part about Bruna is when Gisela's dead, guess what? She doesn't even care because she gets her right back out of the yard and makes
Bruna's
Gisela.
Like, yep, cool, chill. Come on over,
yeah,
buddy.
So basically, I never would ever have a situation where I played Bruna without Gisela somehow making a Brazella. So basically, this deck is the absolute sickest thing that's ever existed.
It's disgusting.
I
just looking at it, it's like, this is so gross.
I felt bad sitting across from my opponents. Like, I felt guilty because they had no chance. They had no chance, Megan. I didn't feel like I played a single game of Magic that day because I just put my cards down on the table.
I mean, technically, that's how you play a game of Magic.
I had to not... You know, at some point, I think I had, like, two Giselles in my hand. I was like, okay, I'll just play... Like, I didn't really have to think about it.
It wasn't even exciting anymore. You didn't even get a thrill out of playing a Gisella anymore.
I think it was just because it was the pre-release. If this had been my pool at a PPTQ, I would have just been like, haha, sorry you're dead.
Yeah, that's fair.
But it was sad in a way because now I know I've reached the pinnacle of my Magic career and I will never again open a sealed pool this good.
You never know.
Are you kidding me?
Maybe in another 4 years.
All right. Also, my pool, just notably, was Gisa and Geralf.
I have no idea how you pronounce those names. Gisa?
And Gisa and Spellqueller.
Geralf?
Hey,
Geralf.
Hey, Geralf.
Hey, Geralf, what you up to?
Geralf.
I'll just, you know, stitching together some undeads.
Geralf, will you make me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, Geralf?
Only if the peanut butter is zombies and the bread is zombies.
Geralf, I need a peanut butter zombie sandwich, Geralf.
Okay, I can make you one of those. Hold on, let me go get my sewing kit. I'm going to sew them together. I'm going to sew the bread together and the peanut butter will be in the middle.
This has been a snippet of a look into Geralf's life growing up on Innistrad. So anyway, that was my first pre-release, 4-0, obviously.
That's disgusting. Look at these mythics.
Yeah.
So many mythics.
Yeah, man.
Gross.
I was initially playing, like, Spellqueller and stuff in this deck in the first build because I had some fixing, but then I took them out because I was like,
you're
I don't...
Like, no, why?
It's not worth it.
Why mess with perfection?
Yeah. So I was punished.
You have to hold on to these.
I know.
These are going to be in standard,
they
probably.
For sure are. 100%. How Jeez. Could they not be? They're so know. Good. Like, every deck's going to play that card.
It's so good. We're talking about Gisella.
Yeah, Gisella.
The Broken Blade. Flying, first strike, lifelink, 4/3 for 2 white. Jeez.
And she has sweet pink hair.
Yeah. Yeah, her art is actually really baller. Like, the art on them is really, really cool.
It's
before
so cool.
They flip.
Oh, man.
It's like
man.
Just the right combo of, like, gross.
And pretty.
Gross and pretty.
Let me tell you, when I made Brazella, it was I know I've said I felt nothing, but I mean, it was still like a great feeling.
I believe
I felt like a jerk, but it felt like I was
How
a great jerk.
How could you
jerk.
Not feel amazing turning this sucker over?
And it's such a big, cool card!
It is. It's a huge, cool
and
card.
And she's half foil on the back.
That's true.
Which is also kind of neat.
It's really cool to see a Magic card this size.
I know, isn't it?
Yeah.
And by the way, if you were at a pre-release, you got some double-sided foil zombie tokens.
Ooh.
Which I've been dreaming about foil tokens for a long time on this show, so I'm really happy they finally happened.
Yeah.
And if there's a zombie deck that ends up in standard, fingers crossed, you're going to have some sweet tokens to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, hang on to those zombie tokens. Probably going to be worth something as well. So yeah, that was my first pre-release. I was punished in my second pre-release for the great luck that I had in my first because, you know, the universe can't be balanced that way. And I opened the absolutely
there
most...
There must be justice!
most horrible pool in the second pre-release, which is funny because I tweeted a picture out. I'm like, Emrah cool's in this one, just because I was going to see if it worked again. And somebody tweeted back at me like...
You cannot, like,
yeah,
nothing.
You deserve nothing, I think
it was. The Willy Wonka, nothing. You get nothing.
Nothing! You get nothing! Why
yeah.
was he so mad, you know?
What, in Willy Wonka?
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, he was just so disheartened by the greed that had made people chase after his company. He was like, people only want the money and the secrets. They don't care about candy and kids.
So, like, he was just taking it out on Charlie.
Yeah. He thought that Charlie was just as bad as everybody else.
Because he went in the burp machine?
What? Because he was thinking about... wasn't it that he was, like, thinking about giving the secrets to the bad guy?
To Slugworth?
Yeah.
I thought it was because him and his uncle, or what was his
grandpa
went up in that that burping chamber.
I don't think so, because I don't think he found out about that.
Who knows? I think he did, because he's, like, yelled about scrubbing it down. Anyway, we need to rewatch that classic.
Just so we can figure out this one particular point that yes. we're arguing.
Also because I like that movie.
Yeah.
And it's so creepy and weird.
It's so creepy. So creepy.
Okay. Anyway, so my second pool was just hideous. My promo was, I think it was those devils that are 6-1 with haste that come down with trample and something has to block them. I should read it because I don't remember if you get to choose what it is, which kind of changes how good that card is in my estimation. But what happens is when I open a pool that I think is pretty bad, I invariably build the same deck every single time, and it's green-black crap.
That's so weird.
Because I think it's because I just am like, well, my pool sucks. I at least want some creatures. Like, I want to be able to put some dudes down.
Usually, if your pool is bad, that's when you should try and go super aggro if it's there.
Just, like,
go
for it.
Just try and aggro them out. Yeah, just try and kill them before they can do anything cool.
So, Megan's taking a look at my pool now to see if it can be salvaged. I did not have, from my estimation, very many creatures or good creatures in this. In this deck, I didn't look at every option, but there is some things. I guess there's just like just kind of a lack of dudes. A lack of dudes and a lack of good dudes. But
dudes.
You know, that's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes.
Yeah.
I definitely played against some aggressive decks on the second day. There was a green-white humans deck I played against, which was very, very good. And was very fast. I played against a red-black madness deck that was also very good and very fast, which was kind of cool to see come together. A lot of times people say in sealed, you have to play a more controlling build. Well, I think in this format you can play aggressively and it'll be fine. But also, yeah. I mean, it's true that I did cast Bruna. I hard cast Bruna in two games as well, and that cost 7 mana. So I wouldn't say this format is fast. I wouldn't classify it like that. I would just classify it like it potentially can be fast.
Yeah. I think also, from what I heard, like, black-white seemed to be doing really well kind of across the board for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. I did, okay, I shouldn't complain too much because I did open a Sorin in this.
That's right.
In this second pool, but he didn't really fit.
You complainer.
He didn't really fit anywhere.
You big ol' complainer.
So, yeah, what are your impressions here, Megan?
You know, I haven't looked all the way through it yet, so you have to give me a minute.
Okay.
So let's talk about some mails. Talk about some.
Okay, cover.
I
can talk about this pig.
Oh, yeah, talk about that pig.
So, Emerge was, of course, one of the new mechanics from this set, and people love playing with Emerge. It's really flavorful, as we discussed with Judge Rob. It's super fun. It leads for interesting decisions. I opened Decimator of the Provinces in my second pool, which is 6 green, green, green for Emerge, or 10 to hardcast for 7/7 trample haste that gives +2/+2 and trample to the rest of your team. So, obviously, it's great. You gotta be able to cast it. That 3 green in the Emerge cost is the real deal. I was able to cast him one time, but it didn't matter because I was basically dead.
What? You weren't able to make your opponent basically dead with
it? No, I could only do 15.
Ugh, only 15?
Yeah, I know. Sadness. Rough. It was a rough day. And they, of course, were at like 29 or something crazy like that.
Oh, wow.
But, I mean, I saw a lot of people playing with the 3/4 flyer, Wretched Griff, that draws you a card when you cast it. That card, very good as well. Mm-hmm. And I also had, like, I think, what was it, the 5/7 Crab that has Hexproof the turn you cast it or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's a guy.
But he's kind of like...
Brown-eared behemoth.
He's just kind of a derp. I mean...
Doesn't he have Flash? He has Flash.
Oh, he has Flash? Okay, yeah. That's better. Didn't play him, though. But Emerge was another thing that I noticed people talking about saying it was really cool. I'm interested to hear what you think about the format so far. Like, what were the overperforming cards for you? What did worse than you expected? Hit me up and tell me if you think the format is fast or slow, particularly if you've drafted it yet with your friends, because I want some packs. And Megan, we are drafting this week.
That's right.
That's right.
We're drafting with some friends.
And we will tell you about it on the next show.
We will. Take that.
I usually do really bad in the first draft of the format.
I usually end up playing games that go a million years long in the first draft.
Last time we did this, we like were done at 1 a.m.
It was so late.
On a work
night. It was on a work, and we had started at like 7.
Yeah.
Just because there was no clock on it. Because you don't play with the clock when you're playing with friends. So it's just, they just go on indefinitely.
I remember being like, Megan, just finish this game. Just kidding. I just scooped. I couldn't take it anymore. I was so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also had a Hanweir Battlements, but I had no garrison.
But look at the back of that Hanweir Writhing Township.
It's almost there.
So close. Oh. We're halfway there. Oh, living on hand where.
Riley Township.
Hand where literally rhymed. Literally rhymed with the song.
I'm so sorry.
What is wrong with you?
I'm so sorry.
What is wrong?
I'm sorry. It's hotter than custard up here. A big
bath. I don't want to eat hot custard.
That's what you say now. When it gets cold in here, I'm going to wrap you up in a little blankie like a human burrito and feed you some more custard.
Oh, gosh.
So Megan's decided that my pool is just garbage town.
Took a moment. Took a good look.
Yep.
Decided. It probably was. I mean, maybe there's something in there, but you'd really have to dig.
Yes.
It's like panning for gold.
And
I mean, a lot of the time there's not gold there. Is really how it works.
I want to thank everybody who sent us pictures, by the way, of your builds or your Brazellas or your Emrakuls this weekend. It was awesome seeing what everybody pulled. That was really, really neat.
It was so cool.
Thanks for keeping in touch on the tweet tweets.
That's right.
And the face beats. Facebook. Didn't work.
And the emails.
Oh.
I'm so hot.
Mailbag. Hey, everybody, you can send us mail. Did you know that?
I did.
Yeah, you sure can. It can be snail mail. It can be mail of the E variety.
Yes. If you would just like to send us an email about maybe an event that you went to or a question that you had or, you know, just an anecdote of your life.
Yeah.
So long as it's a good anecdote of your life. I mean, go for it. MagicTheAmateuring@gmail.com. That's us.
We have a contact form on our website as well, MagicTheAmateuring.com. Something I'm collecting right now are stories from people who have played Friday Night Magic, maybe Kitchen Table Magic, and transitioned to playing GPs or PPTQs or that sort of thing.
So if you have an awesome story.
What it was like for you.
Yeah.
About doing that, please send
us
an email. And we'll get in touch because we're writing a story about it.
Very cool.
So the first thing I wanted to just point out in Inspiration Week here on Magic the Amateuring is this tweet we got right here from, how do I say this? Enitzed754. Yeah. So she initially treated, she went 3-0, she went 3-1. Went 3-1 in my first solo sealed pre-release. Shout out to MTA Cast for giving me the courage to play more than Two-Headed Giant.
That's right, listeners. You can do it, man.
Yeah.
We believe in you. This listener did it.
Yes.
And went 3-1.
Yeah.
Which is just super kick-ass.
So good.
So cool.
And her deck she built is great. She sent a picture of it. I retweeted it, so you can check it out if you follow us. Great deck.
Super awesome. And do you know what? Like, it's intimidating. It's intimidating sometimes to go to your first, like, solo event.
Yep.
But it's also super satisfying. And it only, like, I think it only gets better.
Megan, what was your first,
like,
big
with
event?
Time.
Like, pie with time?
Only gets better. That's a lie. Eat pie as quickly as you can.
Eat it right out of the oven.
Just right away.
Put it in your pie hole. That's what it's called there.
That's why it's called that.
What? Can you tell me?
Is it really?
Because pie goes there?
Yeah.
Why else would it be called a pie hole?
I don't know. I feel like... I don't know.
Because it's like when you open it, it's some kind of mathematical formula for the circumference of your mouth that involves pie.
Yeah.
Perchance. Megan, what was your first big event beyond like going to draft night?
GP Kansas City.
Yeah, that's right. And that was modern, which
was modern. No idea what I was doing.
Extra weird for you.
It was a lot of fun, though. It was a good time.
Do you remember being intimidated?
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
How
absolutely.
Did you beat that feeling?
Do you know what? I just started, like, I was having such a good time. I was having such a good time, it didn't matter eventually.
Yeah, that's so true.
It was super cool.
It can
cool.
seem scary at first, but once you get in there, it's just awesome.
It's so cool.
So yeah, send me your stories if you have something similar you want to talk about your first big event. Here's our second email from Bill and Jen. I just want to say thanks to the two of you. I started to play Magic in 1996 and quit playing competitively about 10 years ago. I pop in and out every few years just to play with friends, so I keep up with what's going on in the world of Magic. I discovered your podcast when the professor, shout out to the professor, started posting them on his YouTube channel. I loved it so much I started listening to the old episodes at work. Wow, you're a real fan. Because of my love of your show, my wife started to watch the YouTube episodes with me, and she thinks you guys are flat out funny. She started to get interested interested in magic partially because you guys make it fun, and partly because she could see she saw two cool female players her own age who only started 2 years ago. We now play together, and we decided to do our first public event with the midnight pre-release of Spooky Moon. It's the only way my wife refers to it. I did okay, and she didn't win a single game, but she had a blast. You guys are the reason I started playing outside of my group of friends and the reason my wife started playing, so thank you.
Shout out to you guys, kicking ass.
Yeah.
MTA cast, bringing together people who are already together.
It's what we do best.
It's what we do best, you guys.
I just wanted to read this because I was so happy that people were taking a chance and going out and playing a pre-release.
Yes, especially it makes us Jen. So excited.
Just go do it, you know? Like, it's
what
so fun.
What more could we wish for than that somebody listens to this and then goes to an event?
And has a great time.
And has a great time.
Nothing.
Like, no, that's it.
That's what makes me so happy. This is why we do what we do.
That's right, you guys. So, get out there. Get out there and play Magic.
Yeah. We recently had a caller, or a caller. This is like a talk show.
Hello. Call in radio show. You're caller number 9. All congratulations. Right. We're going to give you tickets to go see a block party featuring Flavor Flav.
I'd go.
Yeah.
And it also has an endless supply of popsicles because it's popsicle season.
Oh, it really is.
Well, we need to get some popsicles up in here.
Yeah, we do. I'm so warm, my brain can't keep thinking one thought.
I get it. My thoughts are like seeping out of my ears. That's what it feels like.
Well, because thoughts are naturally sweaty things.
Sometimes.
Gross.
We had a... God, I said it again! We
Caller.
Had a listener... caller who wrote to us and said she was worried about playing her first GP, but then she did and she had an awesome time. So if you want some tips on attending your first GP, it's a couple episodes ago. Go back and check that out. It's also on YouTube, of course, on Tolarian Community College, because the wonderful professor puts it there for us. So yeah, lots of tips about attending your first major event. Again, email us in with stories that you have. I hope you feel inspired by these people's stories, because if they can go out and do it, so can you. And you know what? You're going to have a great time. That's the MTA cast guarantee.
You'll also meet someone who you already know.
Flavor Text Theater
presents Shadows versus Moons.
What will win? So let's keep these cards like in the order.
Okay, yeah.
So it's rare be rare. And
wait, but should we? That means we're gonna. Let's just start with the. So we'll start with the bottom.
The bottom. Ooh, look it! I got a Kaladesh. Little
Chroma,
thing.
Look at it.
It's going to be so good.
What's it? Sahili Ray?
Sahili Ray.
Oh,
she looks
so cool.
She looks awesome.
She looks so cool.
I love her. Okay. Ready for our cards to battle?
Right? God, I want that outfit.
I know, but
that,
how is she going to get into that?
I mean, metal manipulation, right? She has to, or she like, someone says that she planes walks into it.
Yeah. Into the aether? Is that the aether?
No, that's just stuff? Metal, but she's like a metal manipulator. Cool. Right? Because that's what she's doing with that thing.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
She looks amazing.
I'm so excited. Okay. 1, 2, 10.
I have Just the Wind.
I have Otherworldly Outburst.
So yours, mine is Just the Wind. We all know it, but I'll read it just in case. 1 and a blue, return target creature to its owner's hand, madness for a single blue.
This is 1 red for an instant. Target creature gets +1/+0 until end of turn. When that creature dies this turn, put a 3/2 Eldrazi horror creature token onto the battlefield. She's barfing up a tentacle, by the way, in this
art.
Oh
gosh, I did not see that.
Just want to point that out for your grossest card.
Oh, really, they all win.
I mean, let's get real. This card... I don't know how to feel about this card. It's very strange.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I feel like it's one of those things, like, if it's good, then it's like, anytime that it's good, it's like really good. Like, you kill their creature and you get a creature. Like, your guys trade, but then you get something.
Sure.
Right? That's like best case scenario.
That's best case scenario.
But I feel like it's just open to bad things happening.
Yeah, bad things can happen with this. And why am I giving something... So yeah, you want to play it on your dude, give him a +1 buff that kills their dude, and then you get a 3/2. You need a lot of things to happen.
It just needs to go right. Exactly. Like, the math on those two creatures just needs to be so perfect.
For that to work out.
For that to work out.
Yeah. So I'm going to pick Just the Wind.
I would also pick Just the Wind.
All right.
But, you know, I think that this card, I'll have to see it.
Yeah.
I'll have to see how it plays out, because I think Otherworldly Outburst, maybe there's some potential in there.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
I have Emissary of the Sleepless. Ooh. 4 and a white for a 2/4 flying. If a creature died when it enters the battlefield, put a 1/1 white spirit creature token onto the battlefield.
I have Dawngriff.
Oh.
Nothing bad's going to happen to this Griff.
No, he's going to be fine forever.
2 and a white for a 2/2 flyer.
You know, I feel like these are about even.
They are, but I like Dawngriff better.
I like Dawngriff better. Actually, I agree. Do you know what? I was just saying, like, 2/4 is nice. Like, 4 is just a nice toughness. But 5 is a lot of mana.
Yeah, 5 is too much to pay for that card. IMHO.
3 is a nice amount of mana to pay.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Ooh, Magmatic Chasm. 1 and a red. Creatures without flying can't block this turn.
I have Prey Upon. 1 green. Target creature you control fights target creature you don't control sorcery.
Most of the time, I take Prey Upon.
Yes, absolutely.
In some decks, it's Magmatic Chasm.
Yeah, the deck that wants Magmatic Chasm really wants Magmatic Chasm.
But most, like, in a vacuum... Prey Upon.
Yeah, sometimes you just need a fight, and this is like a pretty cheap fight. Like, honestly, we've had some fights that have cost 3.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
This fight costs 1.
But it gets no buffs. No. Like, it gives buffs if they cost more, but.
I'm trying to think of what we paid. Anyway, 1, 2, 3.
I have Ghoul Caller's Accomplice, 1 and a black for a 2/2. For 3 and a black, exile it from your graveyard. You get a 2/2 zombie.
Versus Bloodbriar, 2 and a green for a 2/3. Whenever you sack another creature, put a 1/1 counter on it.
How is this card? You played with it.
I did, but I had only 2 ways in my deck to sacrifice creatures. So it was not good. But I think if you play the green-black sacrifice deck, it could be pretty spicy.
So I think in a vacuum, I'd probably go 2/2
yep.
for 2. But... in the right deck, again, Bloodbriar is going to be, like, really good, potentially. Can you imagine this in, like, a Clues deck? You don't really get clue cards because you only get 1 pack of them.
Oh, yeah, sorry. When you sacrifice another permanent, yes, you put a 1/1 counter on it. I said creature.
Oh, 1, 2, 3.
Boop.
I have True Faith Sensor for 2. It's equipment. It gets +1/+1 in Vigilance. Equipped for 2.
I have Borrowed Malevolence for 1 black instant. Escalate 2, colorless. Generic. Target creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. Target creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn. Those are the 2 modes.
I take Borrowed Malevolence.
So would I. It's, giving something -1/-1 at instant speed is not to be sniffed at, and also give something +1/+1 potentially flexible. Mm-hmm. Although I will say True Faith Sensor is quite annoying in the right really humans is. Deck.
Oh man, when it goes on spirits and you're just like, get out of here! 1, 2, 3.
Boom.
Howlpack Wolf. 2 and a red for a 3/3. Can't block unless you control another wolf or werewolf.
And we have 4 and a green for Wolfkin Bond, an aura enchant creature. When it enters the battlefield, put a 2/2 green wolf creature token onto the battlefield. The enchanted creature gets +2/+2. We recognize this card, don't we, Megan?
What?
Yeah, remember with the cute little art with the wolves chasing each other on it?
Oh, yeah.
I think that was this card. Wasn't it? Oh, no, it was how many wolves you control.
That one was how many wolves you control.
Right.
Back in Theros?
Something like that.
That must have been Theros.
Yeah. Seems like a Theros card. So, I think it's a good card.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet.
I haven't either, but I think it's good.
I would give it a try.
I'll try it out.
I would give it a try.
But, of course, these both go in the same... Well, not necessarily, but they...
Yeah, but Howlpack Wolf in a wolf deck, I mean, great. Like a 3/3 for 3, sometimes you just want to smash face.
Yeah, if I'm playing wolves, I'm picking the Howlpack.
Howlpack, honestly, yeah. I pick Howlpack first. 1, 2, 3. Stoic Builder.
It's Marshall Sutcliffe.
2 and a green for a 2/3. When it enters battlefield, return a land from your graveyard to your hand.
And I have a 2 for a 2/1 field creeper.
Which oh my god, that name is so good.
Sounds like
this art is really creepy.
My restraining order. Yeah.
What field were you creeping on?
I was creeping on Farmer Jack's cornfield.
Who's Farmer Jack?
He just grew some really nice corn.
Weird. Look at this pumpkin.
I know, it's creepy.
It's like a creepy grin.
It looks like something out of Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Jack Skellington.
It really is. Okay, also Field Creeper is the best name in the set.
It just easily
is. One of the best names in Magic yet, Field Creeper.
Yeah, I agree. Stoic Builder, I think, is the pick, but I mean, if you need a 2-1 for 1, go for it.
2-1 for 2. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, did I say 1? Whoops.
Shambleback. Black. Exile target creature card from your graveyard. Put a 2/2 black zombie creature token on the battlefield. You gain 2 life.
I'm bringing Shambleback. Anyway. Bold Impaler, 1 red
those
for a 1/2.
Those zombies won't know how to act.
2 and a red. Bold Impaler gets +2/+0 until end of turn. What a stupid card. I'm never picking it.
Oh, yeah.
It costs way too much to pump.
I would never pick either of these.
These both are terrible.
These are both terrible.
I guess I pick the creature if I have to.
I'm bringing Shamble back.
We should do a music video
of I'm bringing Shamble back.
I know it's one set too late, but we're zombies and we can make all the zombie puns from the set.
All right.
Yes.
We'll at least sing it on the show.
Okay.
One, two, three. Gloom Widow, 2 and a green for 3/3 reach that can only block creatures with flying.
Ooh, I have this lovely cube card, Rise from the Grave, 4 and a black for a sorcery. Put target creature card from a graveyard, from any graveyard, P.S., onto the battlefield under your control. That creature is a black zombie in addition to its other colors and types.
Hmm.
Well,
what do you think?
Definitely needs to go in the right deck.
Yeah?
I'm going to take Rise from the Grave. I think it always has a good target.
All right.
At least by that point in the game.
I would try it.
Okay.
One, two, three. Paranoid Parish Blade.
Ooh, and Mourn Willow.
Hmm.
Which is the new guy. That's a pretty creepy art. 1 green black for a 3/2 hasty plant skeleton. Which, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Haste! When Mourn Willow enters the battlefield, if you have Delirium, creatures with power 2 or less can't block this turn. Okay.
Seems fine.
It's fine.
3/2 for Delirium. At 3/2 for 3 mana Delirium, it gets +1/+1 as first strike. I think I like the Parish Blade.
I like the Parish Blade too.
1, 2, 3. Ulvenwald Mysteries. Whenever a non-token creature you control dies, investigate. Whenever you sacrifice a clue, 1/1 white human.
Versus Weaver of Lightning, 2 and a red for a 1/4 creature human shaman reach for some reason. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, Weaver of Lightning deals 1 damage to target creature and opponent controls.
You know, it's because it can, it has reach because it's
lightning.
It's like
things in the sky. Well, this card is so weird.
Yeah.
This is a bizarre card.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good, but maybe in the right red-blue spells deck, you can get something going.
Yeah.
2 free damage on some turn? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I'm picking that.
1, 2, 3. Ooh!
Rare time! Oh my gosh, exciting. Okay,
what do you have?
I have Gyre Reach Sanitarium. It's a land. You can tap it to add colorless. 2 and tap. It's what we call a party loot. Each player draws a card, then discards a card.
Ooh, a party loot.
Yeah, I heard somebody say that next to me this weekend. That's great. That's adorable.
tap to party loot?
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's amazing.
I loved it.
We have the Gitrog Monster.
Sweet!
3 black green for a 6/6 death touch. Beginning of your upkeep, obviously, sacrifice a land, draw a card.
I am taking that monster.
Oh, so good.
All day.
So good. 1, 2, 3. Gatstaff Arsonists.
Oh, versus our promo, Incendiary Flow.
Oh, very cool. I take the Incendiary Flow.
Yeah, for sure.
1, 2, 3.
Swamp.
Thing in the Ice. Ooh, we got a rare double face.
That's sweet.
Yeah. We got 2 double faces. How did this happen? How did we get a mythic?
And a rare?
And a rare?
Because the rare is your double face.
No, but this Gatstaff Arsonist is our double face.
But what if...
That's not a thing!
Huh. Mine was Graphrats.
What's going on?
I don't know.
I mean, like, it's 14 cards.
Oh.
Maybe one of them's just, like, supposed to be foil? And it's not?
That would be weird.
That's weird! You guys all saw it happen.
Explain it to us.
What happened?
I'm sure there's a simple explanation that we're just not thinking of because we're too hot right now.
We're too warm to think of the explanation. There's no land.
Really?
There's no land.
Are you saying that we got a rare instead of a land in this pack?
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
How did that... No, because we also got a flip card. So is that in place of the land?
Do you mean that the checklist card?
We got a checklist card.
I don't know. I don't know how they pack these things.
Hand me another pack of Innistrad.
Here. Oh, we've got packs for days!
What's going on? Everybody who's watching is like, this has a really simple explanation.
I know they are. I just don't pay attention to like how the packing stuff people think about.
Oh, what happened?
This Incendiary Flow is foil and it looks like beautiful.
It is. Okay. Okay, we have Catalog, Thraben Inspector. I love Thraben Inspector.
That card is good.
Nibbliss of Dusk, also great.
Yeah.
Okay, which one do you take?
Thraben or Nibbliss?
Nibbles.
Nibbles.
You just got a Bloodman Vampire, Confront the Unknown. Ooh.
Deadweight.
Deadweight or Nibbles.
Ooh. I like playing with Nibbles better.
Gosh.
But I think Deadweight,
there's an argument
play.
For both ways. I love Deadweight. Vessel Volatility, Kessig Dire Swine, Macabre Waltz, Obsessive Skinner, Trail of Evidence, Gibbering Fiend. Ooh, Silver for a Partisan.
Ooh, that's a card.
Thraben Gargoyle. And then...
So there's no land.
What happened? Okay, so there's no land. There's a checklist card in place of the land.
Yeah.
And a token. So we have the checklist card and the token.
Yeah.
We have... Okay, let's get all these in a pile.
You know what?
What's going on?
We're having heat stroke.
1, 2, 3.
Oh my god.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, so 9. Regular. And then...
Because there is for sure
9, 3, 1, and a double face. Here we have... Okay, let's see. We have 1, 2... What's going on?
Everybody, we make
three,
great radio.
Four,
I just want to point
five,
that out.
5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so we're supposed to have a foil, but it's just not foil.
Oh, that's
what's
weird.
What's going on? That's all.
Why? You always get a foil?
No, but because there's only eight. There's only eight commons,
I see what you're saying.
Right? So there's a foil in place of a common, except our foil isn't foil. It's just another double face.
That's weird.
You guys got to see it
wow.
happen. Or listen to it happen.
This is like when you crack an egg and there's two yolks.
Oh, that weirds me out.
Me too. Twins. You just ate twins. Well, everybody, that's our crazy show this week. Thanks for listening.
That's right. Just like our weird pack of shadows, you got two rares in one.
Yeah.
We're both rare.
We are both rare.
We're both rare.
Some would say you're mythic, Megan.
Aw, thanks, buddy. You too.
Thanks. Remember to follow us on Twitter at MTAcast. Join in the party of sending us sweet pics of your sweet pulls and watching me brag about Brazella some more because I'm never going to let that go. You hear me? Never.
You know? Some things deserve to never be forgotten.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Of course, remember patreon.com/MTAcast. Help us get up to 700 where we make some drunk history Magic the Gathering. I think that'll be really fun.
It'll be so good.
I'm really excited. And by the way, we hit our $600 reward thanks to everybody out there. And the video, I think, is probably going live tomorrow,
The blooper?
The blooper video.
What? So you might be listening to this, and you might be able to get on YouTube and check out our blooper reel.
Right after you see
it.
Right after you hear this, to us talking
about it.
So go over to Larian Community College on YouTube. Check out the blooper video. We'll, of course, tweet a link. I'm just dying to see it because I will probably never... feel like I have any dignity ever again.
No.
Well, I didn't have much to begin with.
But it'll all be gone after this.
Yeah. It'll be completely zero.
Yep.
Next week, of course, we'll talk about Draft, which I'm so excited about. And we're gearing up for the Pro Tour, too.
That's right.
Oh, I'm so excited.
We'll be giving you all the hot news that we can gather of what's going on in Australia, the hot country.
The hottest news, even though it's cold there now.
Oh, that's right. It's their winter.
Yeah.
Weird.
Isn't that strange?
We'll be bringing all the winter news from Winter Australia.
Because there's going to be a GP down there and then the Pro Tour.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, so we'll have all that for you and more on upcoming episodes of Magic the Amateuring. Like we said, get in touch if you have a sweet story from starting your first GP or your first PPTQ. We want to hear about it. Until next time, my name's Maria. Don't you forget it.
My name's Megan. Do what you want with it.